would be rebuilt to improve the flow underneath the crossing. If we go to the next slide, the next couple, I guess. Yeah, there we go. Again, these are just some photos of the existing site. This is the slope and some of the remnant, orchard remnants on the site. This is a photo of the creek and the stream bed that exists today. And now this next photo is something I wanted to talk about a little bit more. This is an aerial of the project itself and the Fallbrook surroundings. Oh, there we go. And again, in the center of the project, that's our project site outlined in yellow. The lots are outlined in white. And the point of this is simply to show that I think our lotting pattern and our lot sizes are very consistent with the Fallbrook surroundings and the pattern of lots that have surround this site. Our average lot size as a whole is 0.65 acres. So, again, you just saw this graphic from staff, but again, this shows our proposed RPO buffer and limited building zone. The limited building zone in yellow, the RPO buffer in blue. The limited building zone does encroach on a couple of the pads and the lots, but the pads are definitely large enough to provide a reasonable residence on those pads, and that's a condition we worked with staff and with North County Fire throughout this project. This next slide shows our actual specific pad areas on the site, and again, this is an item we work closely with the Fallbrook Planning Group on. Originally, when we'd come to them, we got a unanimous denial because they felt we had too much grading and we were affecting the natural grade of the site way too much. And maybe we were, because we went back and we redesigned the project. The engineer did a great job looking at each lot individually and really custom designing each pad on each lot to minimize the overall grading of the site and to allow the natural terrain to remain where possible. Our pad sites range in size from 5,600 to 9,500 square feet. But again, this was a primary item we worked out with the Fallbrook Planning Group, and when we went back to them with this design, as you'd seen, we got a unanimous approval, as we'd worked on a few other planning issues. One final slide. This is a more of a graphic site cross-section of the project, and this is taken along the northern portions of the project adjacent to Constant Creek Road, and starting from west to east as you go toward the creek. Our project site falls approximately 50 feet over the course of the site. We don't have any qualifying steep slopes, but we do have a general grade that falls that far. One of the things I wanted to point out was the neighboring homes to the west of us. There's four home sites. Those pads are approximately 30 to 40 feet above our highest pad on site. And I think we've done a good job tailoring our pads to the natural terrain to where a structure that was two stories at 28 to 30 feet, you know, would have a minimal impact on any structures that are 30 to 40 feet minimum and higher above us. Views can be maintained across the site, and this really shows how we're staying close to grade where possible on the site. So in closing, our applicants agreed, you know, to all the project conditions and mitigation measures and requirements that have been called out, and we respectfully ask that the commission adopt the resolution and the findings that are in front of them today. I do have the project biology and wetlands consultants and the project engineer with me today, so we'd be happy to address any questions that may come up.
Currently, we do have a few questions.
Okay.
Commissioner Day.
That crossing?
The Arizona crossing.
Arizona. Right. So can you repeat, how wide is it now?
It's roughly, I think, in the range of 20 feet wide now.
So you're going to widen it?
24 feet. It'll be widened to 28 feet as a requirement of the fire district, allow two-way traffic, safe two-way traffic in and out of the site.
And does that take a permit from Army Corps?
Yeah, and our wetlands consultant can talk about that a little bit more, but I think we are required for permits.
And then
we have a slight impact in the creek due to that and due to the creek activities.
Okay, and then my other question, Mr. Commissioner Beck's question, were you talking about the creek as well? And I was wondering if that took a permit to maintain clearing of the vegetation as well.
Well, I was talking about the creek because one of the obligations, actually it's a mitigation obligation associated with the Arizona crossing, is to do restoration and maintain that for 5 years. Is it 3 or 5 years? I think it's 5. And yeah, as far as I know, you're going to need 1,600 for the Arizona crossing, I would think.
Could I have a follow-up question on that point, Mr. Chairman? The
When you did your study on the Arizona crossing, what typically has happened in the past historically in that creek during wet times, like the rains we had the past couple of years?
Yeah, well, historically, it flows under and over the crossing as it's designed to. Yeah, I can have the project engineer come up if you want to.
Yeah, I'd just like to hear some comments on that for 100-year floods and how that's going to affect access to the project. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hi, my name is Mike Benish. I'm the civil engineer on the project. Address is 404 South Live Oak Park Road in Fallbrook. The way the crossing is designed now, there's an 18-inch diameter pipe under it, which does not allow much water at all to go under it. So in most storms, and I don't live out there, but in most sizable storms, there will be water crossing over the top of it. And I have heard in the hearings we've had that there's problems with access when it rains and other things. After the development, we're putting in a much larger box culvert under it, so more water can cross under it, so there'll be less chance for the crossing to flood, and it'll be designed per county standards. It will still flood in a major storm. There will be water going over the top.
And that's acceptable within county standards to have water coming over the top? If access is denied due to that, is that still?
Good morning, Commissioners. Rick Lantis, Public Works. The county standards use a maximum of 10-inch flow across the Arizona crossing, so it will be designed and sized to meet that appropriately, where the majority of water will flow underneath it through the box culvert. And again, there could be a maximum of a 10-inch depth, so that will not impede ingress and egress.
So that is a standard 10-inch max?
That's correct.
For the 100-year flood event?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You have an opportunity for rebuttal if required, if you feel necessary.
Mr. Chairman, we have one more speaker in favor, Mr. Sapien, if he wishes to speak.
Point out that I was going to
say, sir, and you have to come to the mic. These hearings are recorded, so you can go back.
Harold Sapien. I'm part owner of the property. I've come down from San Francisco today.
What is your address?
To attend this 4333 Balboa Street, San Francisco, California. And I just wanted to speak in favor of proceeding with the commission meeting and not voting in favor of a continuance, which has been adopted. So I really haven't much to say except that we've been at this project for 5 years, and we have every step of the way complied with the county standards and tried to hear and honor the wishes of the community and their concerns and adjust and change our plan numerous times. We hope that you will find the plan favorable and vote in favor of it, of course. And that really about sums it up. Everyone has been able to comment on it, and I'm just that's all, really, I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sapien. Mr. Chairman, Marsha Adams also submitted a speaker slip in favor and only speaking if there are any questions on biology. Moving on to the speakers in opposition, we have two, Mr. Mark Moss and Mr. Maurice Murphy.
Thank you. Again, my name is Mark Moss, 1077 Morrow. On that, if you look at the map right there.
You have a pointer there, oh. So you please feel free to use it.
My house right there.
Before you continue, is that one of the houses that when we showed the cut that's above?
Correct. It is above.
It was four homesteads above. You're one of those?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct. And I want to say thank you for the opportunity to speak. And I know that they have made concessions in their plans and so forth. I want to say that I'm not opposed to the development as a whole. What I'm really opposed to is I wrote out my concerns. I understand some of them have been addressed, the street lighting. I didn't want light pollution and so forth. My biggest concern right now is the fact that this property is in probate. And I've been in the government business long enough to know what goes on in the probate situations. And my concern is that I know I just read it now. Like I said, I didn't get noticed. So I just read this thing now where the Planning Commission has accepted the fact that ownership lies with one party and not the party disputing the probate. So there's still an issue regarding the probate and is in litigation, which means that this is going to be tied up in court. And if a permit is granted, the first thing, before the permit for the development can be granted, they have to do certain conditions. They have to tear down the existing homes of Maurice and his child. They have to abandon some wells, a storage tank, and so forth. And then once that's done, then they can start their grading. Well, I don't need to tell anybody here that right now real estate is not really a hot commodity. And if we start doing this grading while it's in probate, there's two situations. You have the economy and probate. The stipulation is that there's going to be an orange perimeter fence and also an 8-foot plywood constructed fence around this property.
Show us with the, where these
are. I don't have the original documentation, but in the stipulation for these permits, they're talking about a construction fence, containment fence or temporary construction fence. It's an 8-foot plywood wall. And orange, I'm sure you've seen it, the orange type of plastic tape surrounding the boundaries of this. I don't really want to sit there and look at this for 2 years. I also don't want to see the land graded and sit there for 2 years and have to deal with the dust and so forth. I would ask that this be held off until at least probate is completed. I don't know what the legalities, I mean, I'm sure you rely on staff, I'm aware of that process, I'm sure you guys went through some legal type of evaluation, but there's a probate court, and that's where it should be dealt with, not on the Planning Commission side. So I'm requesting that this be put off until that probate issue's been resolved, and once the probate is resolved, and hopefully the construction, the grading is done at a timely manner to where they're going to start putting homes on it and get landscaping and so forth in there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Moss. Mr. Murphy?
My name is Maurice Murphy, husband of January Murphy, and I reside at 1107 Morrow Road with my daughter, Noelle. This is the site the project is proposed on. It's my contention that this application for the project is not valid. The original application listed as stated on the deed of trust was Daryl Sapien, whom you just saw speak, Dolores Sapien, my mother-in-law, and January Murphy, a married woman. My wife held a 30% interest in this property, and upon her death in 2008, her interest was conveyed to me under California Community Property Law. After my wife's death, I filed an affidavit of death with the county in San Marcos and was assured that this was a fact and her interest could not be taken from me. So the state of California, the county of San Diego, and Social Security all ascertained that this was true and that my rights could not be taken from me. After my wife's passing, her mother, Dolores Sapien, refiled the application for this project, omitting my name and without informing me or gaining my consent. Therefore, I believe that this was a fraudulent act, and as such, I respectfully request that this project be set aside until the rightful ownership of this property can be established. Now, on a more personal note, I live there with my teenage daughter, and in order for this permit to be granted, the house has to be torn down, the garage, the wells, the gas tank has to be removed under supervision, and a number of things. Now, I have no place to go.
Pardon me, sir. This house is within the yellow area?
Yes, the house on the existing property.
Thank you. Continue.
My daughter and I have been living at, and my wife, until she died 2 years ago. And which means that the land will have to be stripped before the permit is granted. And why the economy the way it is and so on, how many years might it be before a contractor's going to believe it feasible to build houses or buy the property and whatever. So in the meantime, the land's going to be vacant, and my daughter and I don't have a place to live. So we are currently in litigation over the probate of this property, and I would ask you to set it aside until the determination as to my share under California community property can be resolved. Now, my mother-in-law is ostensibly, this is an end run by her to eliminate me from the deed.
Okay, so your time is up.
And I'm done.
Can you summarize quickly?
Yes, and I'm done, and I greatly appreciate the time and consideration.
Any question?
Yes.
No, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'd like to.
I do have a question.
Before.
Your choice.
Commissioner Beck and then County Council.
excuse me. Does staff look at title report on any of these issues? Okay, so what's on the title in terms of ownership? Thank you.
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, we do check the grant deeds on an application when the applications come in. In this case, there were three owners on it. Mr. Sapien was one of them. As the last speaker testified, it's true, his ex-wife was one of the owners. Pardon me. The application is required to list all owners, but not all owners are required to sign the application. The matter that they are going through is a private matter. They're in court litigating this issue, but it does not affect the county's processing of the entitlement application.
Well, who has the right to apply given different ownerships on title?
Commissioner Beck, through the chair, any of the owners has the ability to apply, but on that application, they just have to list all other owners. All the owners don't have to consent to it necessarily.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're going to.
Mr. Chairman, we have.
We're going. I'd like to hear the county council's opinion because we're here for land use, and in a dispute like this, so we're not charged with resolving anything like that. So, where do we actually stand on this?
Yeah, you're exactly right. We don't resolve probate disputes. We just deal with the land use issues. The partial owner can get an injunction from the probate court prohibiting them from going ahead if that's what he chooses to do, but that's not an issue for us to resolve.
So at this point, let me hear from other commissioners first. Commissioner Day and then Commissioner Woods.
I'll defer to Commissioner Woods.
So I just had a question on the application. Would you review with me what was just stated? The individual whose wife conveyed upon her passing the 30% title, was his name or his wife's name listed on the original application?
Yeah, his wife.
Commissioner Woods, through the chair, yes, her name was listed within the application documents.
Wow.
Yeah, as one of the owners, it has to be.
Okay, so from the standpoint of what we require of the through the county, the application was properly identified the ownership, and that any one of the owners or two-thirds of the owners could bring forth an application for a project. So that's a true statement?
That is correct.
So from the standpoint of this commission, we're simply going to deal with the project, and as council determined, sir, I think your direction to protect your interest is an injunction through the probate court that I would urge you to consider right away. But from the standpoint of us being able to do that for you or to get involved in this probate or the dispute, that's not our purview. Okay. So that, and you can't speak from there. If the chairman allows you, I mean, I would support a couple. I would support a minute or two from you just because
come
of your
forward, sir,
frustration.
And be very brief.
The original application was valid. That was Dolores Sapien, my mother-in-law, and Daryl, her brother, and my wife. That was the ownership. Okay, then after my wife passed, my mother-in-law refiled, omitting my name. So it went from my wife to me. So the proper application, as the county states, all interested parties have to be on the application, should have said Daryl Sapien, Dolores Sapien, and Maurice Murphy.
Okay, because so that's the question I have with staff. Was there a refiling? You only need one application.
She refiled.
Well, let's ask staff that.
After my wife died. And so that's my contention that
okay,
it was an erroneous
okay,
filing.
Okay, then that's what
thank
I needed
you
to know from you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So staff, if you could comment to the refiling issue, if they're...
Commissioner Woods, to the chair, they did not refile the names on the application mass, the grantees that were submitted.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. So one of the things I always check when I look at applications is the applicant's statement of disclosure of certain ownership interests form, because having filed many projects, I know this is one of the first forms you file at the very beginning. So that's how I typically judge how long a project's been in process. So I looked at this and I said, 2009, that's only 2 years, that's unheard of. And I was going to make a comment to the director that congratulating him, what a good job processing a TM in 2 years is unheard of. So then, of course, all of this has unraveled here. And the applicant, Mr. Sapien, said they've been processing for 5 years. So I said, well, that's strange. So then I thought, oh, no, it's a replacement map. So when they did the replacement map, they must have refiled their disclosure of ownership. And I do see that Mr. Sapien, Mr. Daryl Sapien, and Mrs. Dolores Sapien are on this form. So I don't know if there's an issue or not, counsel, or it's totally a civil matter and out of our hands. But is there a technical issue here or not?
Sounds like it.
Commissioner Pallinger, through the chair, that the project was submitted in March 2009. That's the original.
And what's on the name? Excuse me, the names on the application. Which
that's would, correct.
All three of them.
Two.
Yeah. The on this form there's Daryl and Dolores Sapien. This is the statement of disclosure of the ownership interests. But on the application itself, they did list, I think it was January Murphy as well.
Can we have a copy of that, please?
Here, I think we
do. We have a copy?
Well, you have the microphone.
Page 2-26, Chairman, of your file. There you go.
I'd like to hear from counsel if this is an issue or we're going down a path that's wasting the public's and staff's time.
Murphy's not on there. Totally sounds like an in or out. Mm-hmm. Reapplication, you're not on there.
Applicant, while they're looking through this, would you please come forward, applicant rep? We have a commissioner that would like to ask the question. Commissioner Day.
So you just heard the previous discussion. Your testimony was that you've been in process for 5 years. The application's dated 2 years ago, so which is it?
No, we filed the application, the tentative map that's in front of you in March of 2009.
That's not 5 years?
No.
So you said 5 years?
Mr. Sapien's been working on the project for approximately 5 years doing investigations, but the official filing of it with the county was in March of 2009.
Thank you.
Thanks for that clarification. What did you guys come up with, Commissioner Pallinger?
Commissioner Brooks, the chair, I just handed an application to County Council. It should be circulating.
Yes. Well, let me pass this along to you. It appears to me that his name is not listed, and it should have been.
Well, Council, is that an issue or not? Should we proceed with this hearing?
Yes, it is.
An issue?
Yes.
So then we'll need some direction from you, Council.
Staff seems to be befuddled by that comment. Hold on one moment, please.
No, they just look befuddled.
Staff, did you have any comment on County Council's statement?
Chairman Brooks, the information that we presented to Council does include two of the three ownership names. We'll defer to Council on that matter.
Commissioner Day. Commissioner Wood. Beck and then
you
and
me. Okay.
I know these guys very, very well. Perhaps too well.
Too well. That's true.
Don't worry, you're buying lunch.
I do.
So just from kind of a common sense perspective, if one of the property owners is not listed on the grant deed, and in fact they are part owner, and the application doesn't reflect that, then I don't feel comfortable moving forward to this and without those issues being kind of reconciled. It just doesn't seem right to me.
I agree.
We used to go back to you. You had to go now.
I'm right.
Commissioner Day and then Commissioner Reese.
So I would like to ask staff again. I thought you said earlier that our normal process, what is our normal process for an application? If you've got a parcel that has multiple ownership, I thought I heard you say any one of the individuals can file an application.
But all have to be listed, though.
Commissioner Day, through the chair, that's correct. Any one of the owners can file an application, but our procedure does require that an application include all the parties that have an interest in that property. If indeed that's the case, that one of the owners isn't on here, I have to agree with Council.
Since I'm looking at this for the first time, this is the grant deed. And this is the application. So the application where it says owner name of Daryl Sapien, and that's all that's listed? That's the issue? Is the application incorrect?
Commissioner Day, that's correct.
I see. All right, thank you.
Commissioner Reese?
I would suggest that we start where we began earlier and continue this to March 11 if we got a resolution by then.
I disagree.
Okay.
If I may, I think personally, we should send this back to the applicants, and until they have a complete application, I don't want to see it again.
I'd second that one as well.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Before we get on to taking action, we should probably conclude public testimony,
I think we should continue.
We have two additional speakers in opposition that don't wish to speak, Mr. Chairman, and you can now close public testimony.
Okay, at this point, come forward. Public testimony is closed. Actually, we're going to have a rebuttal right now first.
My name is Daryl Sapien. I was up here before from San Francisco. I just want to point out that my sister left a will behind, and that Mr. Murphy, when he filed an affidavit for community property, failed to indicate that there was a will. In that will, my sister does not leave the property to Mr. Murphy. She leaves it to her daughter, and that is what the civil courts are now trying to adjudicate, and that's the issue in the probate. So at the time of application, the two known owners at that time was myself and my mother. the property being left to Noelle, Mr. Murphy and my sister's daughter, would be under the guardianship of my Aunt Mary, which in the present time is what's being decided in the civil court. So there was no fraud perpetrated at all. In fact, we were led to believe, or we understood, that two of the three owners could sign the application. And since the ownership of the third was not, was in limbo, so to speak, and we were expecting it to be Noelle, who was a minor.
Well, what we understand, and cutting you off, is that we needed to know all ownership, and only one can apply. So and so now we understand what's going on. If you don't mind, if you could be seated there, right, if we need you again, Commissioner.
I actually have a question for you. So the issue here is the application needs to include all the owners.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that there's no dispute that there is a third owner. It's a question of whether that third owner has a guardian or not, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth, right?
Correct.
Okay, so the application does not include all three owners. Is that correct?
Yep. Presently, no.
Okay, well then, from my perspective, that issue, and it sounds a very complicated family issue, has to be reconciled before an application can be deemed complete for the project. That's how I'm reading it. Okay. That's how I'm thinking. I just want you to understand that. And if you disagree with that, is there some logic I'm missing?
No, I just want to point out that at the start of the project, my sister was fully in support of it, and that we had started researching it in 2005. We had pre-application meetings.
No, but my point is that if your sister was in complete support of it, that should have carried down to an individual who retained her ownership in it, and that's not what we have in front of us.
Well, it sounds like your sister was alive when you filed the application, correct?
She died in January of 2008, and the application was filed in 2009. So she was not alive at the time of the final application. She was alive during the pre-application.
Here. Okay, I think if there are no further questions, we need to deliberate on this. Sir, you have one more thing to offer?
I suppose I would prefer that it be.
You have one more thing to offer.
Well, you're debating on what to do, and again, you know, staff has looked at the application. Dan Niebaum, again, for the record, rather than completely sending it back, if there is the option for a continuance to sort this out with staff, with council, that would be a preferable option.
That motion's out on the table.
Okay, thank you, sir. Commissioner Day?
Well, I'm just trying to understand what our options are. What would prevent Mr. Niebaum from filling out this form again and listing the three names? And then that coming right back to us. That's the issue. And I want to make sure, just speaking hypothetically or theoretically, you know, that if he does that and that comes back, we're still faced with the same issue. It's not our job to get into probate. It's a civil and private matter. And at the end of the day, it seems to me, if this map ultimately is approved, anyone who's got an interest in that property is going to see a windfall in value versus not having the map approved. That's a separate issue, I understand, but the point is a process issue. If it simply has to refile that one or two page application sheet to list the three names, why is that not an option? Because it's still going to be back before us, and we're still not going to want to get into the civil probate issue. He's complied with all of our county ordinances, addressed all of the environmental issues. My recommendation would be to continue this for 2 weeks, and he can use that time to either refill out the form properly, which should have been done 2 years ago, and come back to us.
Commissioner Beck.
Well, I think we have a motion and a second on the floor, so.
I didn't get that. What was the motion and second?
The motion?
The motion was to send it back, not for continuance, but rather for a complete application.
And if I could speak to that motion, Mr. Chairman, I understand.
Well, first of all, before you do, it was made by Commissioner Wood.
That's correct.
And who seconded?
Reese.
By Commissioner Reese.
Thank you, Commissioner Day.
I can understand, Mr. Commissioner Woods, why you'd make that motion. I just think that that's going to lead us down the path of further entangling us into this civil matter. I mean, the option, well, and arbitrarily placing roadblocks before this applicant.
Well, I'm willing to support the motion because I think it's the right thing to do. And there may be a technical reason why the person can add just one more signature and come back, which in effect is no different than Commissioner Woods' motion, come back with a complete application. I would prefer that we keep it clean and simple at that point instead of continuing today's conversation. And then I do think that there's all kinds of ancillary things, obviously, that are not under our purview. And, you know, windfall is in the eye of the beholder, and if certain people have to be moved off the property, that's not exactly a windfall. So I would support the motion, and I think that, in effect, that will require a complete application, which is pretty simple. It's how you get in the door.
Any further discussion before Commissioner Pallinger?
Mr. Director? If we were to continue it, is it more efficient for staff than to have to re-notice it as another hearing? Wouldn't it be in the interest of efficiency and staff time to continue the hearing?
It does save an incremental cost to continue a hearing to a specific date versus sending it back to staff due to the noticing requirements and so on. One alternative that your commission could consider is continuing it to, I would suggest, March 25th. And if the issue isn't resolved by then, we could simply continue or revert it back to the staff at that time if the issue isn't resolved from an application standpoint.
Mr. Chairman, to the maker of the motion, I would urge you to amend your motion to continue the hearing in the interest of government efficiency.
That's an oxymoron. Mr. Woods.
We don't want to negate the good work staff has done in processing a project in 2 years, which is absolutely unheard of.
What I'd like to ask the director, if I may, is does, for the sake of understanding the process here, the person that was omitted as an owner, does he have to sign the application?
No. The individual does not have to sign the application. They have to be listed consistent with the grant deed.
Right. Commissioner Reese.
Then I would amend my motion to.
Thank you.
Continue till March 25th.
Does the second?
I would concur with that as the second, but I have a question of County Council. If the person who owns 1/3 interest in the property does not consent to the subdivision of the property, what can happen in that situation?
Well, they wouldn't have a valid application, so we wouldn't process it. Thank you. You have to have the signature, not the signature, you have to list all owners.
And they have to consent. By definition, by putting them down, they've consented?
No, they've, you're not asking for their consent. Right. You're asking that all names be listed.
That's right. This is disclosure. Okay, having heard all, one final request I like, and it's about you, sir.
Somebody's missing a point here. How do you determine?
You can't speak from back. I'm going to lie for this meeting. You'd come forward hurriedly, please. And my comment had to deal with you. Now, don't do anything to mess it up.
No, I'm not going to do that.
But I'm listening to everything, but I think we're missing something, is that I understand where just one person can do the request. But you're saying that all the owners have to be listed, correct? How do you know who that owner is until probate is resolved?
Staff?
That is,
you don't.
You know, that's one of the reasons I asked to continue this to March 25th, because
yes,
we are going to have to work with our counsel as to what the legal requirements are.
Yeah.
And I can't assure that it's just going to be as easy as adding a name to the
right
application. So we would have to work with counsel on this, and hopefully we can be able to resolve that by March 25th.
Okay, Mr. Moss, uh-huh. Thank you.
And I would
thank
add,
you.
I would add, there are safeguards in the process. For example, while all property owners don't need to consent for purposes of processing a tentative map, before this map is final, there are a number of conditions that need to be satisfied that absolutely will have to have this issue resolved, and all owners have to sign the final map.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. Commissioner
that
Beck.
That satisfies me for the continuance.
Commissioner Thank Beck, you, Mr. and Director. Then I'm going to have the final word.
Now that you're chairman.
You wouldn't let me do it before.
I guess against my marginally better judgment, or my sense of it anyway, on this, I'm going to go ahead and support the motion. But I think that it's appropriate for us as a hearing body to look at what's come before us with all this confusion and say, nope, come back with a complete application. Then the onus on determining who that third party is on them, and not on staff and not on county council. It's on them to come back with a complete application. Because I think that last point that was made is a valid point, and that is, who is that third signature? That is being dealt with out in the outside world. And for that to all of a sudden be the responsibility of the county of San Diego because we're continuing the item seems really wrong to me.
County council.
Yeah, Mr. Gibson had it correct that the check on this is when you go to final map.
Right.
It's not unusual for people who have no property interest to file the tentative map, or what they'll have is an option, and they'll go ahead and they'll process it, and then if they're successful, then they'll exercise the option, then they become the owner. So it's not out of the question for us to entertain a tentative map where we don't have all the owners that are in front of us.
Right.
But
it all comes
where you catch that is at the final map where all owners have to sign.
Okay. What I like to what I've been patiently waiting to add, and you, County Council, let me know if we're able to do this. I was sympathetic to if we start grading, I'm going down the line, and as Mr. Moss pointed out, and this thing is not out of probate, and construction fence and all of that is still up for maybe 2 or 3 years. Is it any way we can condition the project, even when it comes back, that those things have to be resolved before ground is broken?
Well, you can't grade until you have a final map, right?
You can if you have agreements, and Public Works probably can speak this to this better. But I would say before we do any improvements or start construction or any grading, there's bonds that are secured to reclaim the site if things go sideways in the middle of the process.
Okay, so Mr. Moss will be protected in terms of not having this project, except we know what happens in economic conditions when the bottom falls out and the project is sitting there with a fence around. But other than that, this probate will not hold up the project where you've already broken ground and you're waiting there with construction fence around.
Mr. Chairman, what I'd say is there's safeguards should that condition happen, yes.
I'm not done, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay, go on. We want to clear this up.
So I just want to understand this last series of thoughts. So one of the issues here is that the existing residences will have to, or residents will have to be demolished in order to implement the grading plan. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. And this challenge for this whole thing is being brought by the person that actually lives in that residence. So in theory, we can allow this to process as County Council said, as if somebody bought an option on a property, but that's not really what the case is here. And issue a grading permit with this issue still being unresolved in terms of the appropriate application and the final map being approved. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, that's just not right. That's just not right.
As it's currently written, staff informs me that demolishing the home is required before final map. One of the things we can look at during this continuous period is also adding, although it's rare that it does happen that you see grading before final map, that it also occur before either of those situations occur, before grading.
So we can have a final, this will fix everything, at least from this perspective. We can have the requirement of a final map approval before grading permits are issued?
I'm not sure about that, but we could have a condition in there that says before issuance of any grading permit or final map, the demolition has to occur, which would, of course, have to, I would think, have this issue resolved.
Well, only if it's after the final map approval. No. I would like to...
I should say, staff's just informed me that that's the way the condition is written now, that before final map or any other permit, including a grading permit, that the structure has to be removed.
Well, I understand that. That's the problem. I want to find out, is it under the purview of the commission or the department to require, under any circumstance, that a final map has to be approved before the grading permit is approved? Can we do that?
Yeah. I don't believe we can.
Unfortunately, Mr. Beck, I think those are all issues that are controlled under the State of California Map Act. So although I'm sympathetic to Mr. Murphy's situation, I don't think it's in our purview at all. And I'd like to call for the question, please.
What? So somebody read this the motion.
The motion from the maker was to continue this hearing until March 25th, until the resolution is complete on the application.
Ready for the vote? Ready for the vote?
No.
All in favor?
No. I have a discussion, if I could.
Oh, you may. One more.
I'm going to support the motion, and if staff wouldn't mind coming back with a definitive, sounds like you're comfortable with it, but with a definitive legal interpretation that a commission cannot condition a map to be approved without prior to a grading permit, because I would like it to happen after the fact. That would solve all the problems.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay, please vote. All seated commissioners voted in favor of the motion with Norby absent. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple cleanup items. There has not been any recent meetings of the Board of Supervisors. We do have they do have a meeting on March 9th and March, in which no planning and land use issues will be discussed on March 16th. We will be returning with our general plan update to a continued hearing before the Board of Supervisors.
Commissioner Woods, since you led that, can you be available on the 16th?
What?
March 16th?
March 16th.
To what?
General plan.
It's the continued general plan meeting. I don't think it's mandatory that we have a representative from your commission. It is certainly a meeting where we're expecting the board to give us some direction on exactly where they want to go with the plan at this point in time.
I would agree to try to be there, but I can't guarantee it, so I'd like to have a backup, please.
You want to go? And again, it's not mandatory in this particular meeting that we have a representative, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Just so I understand, I kind of am pretty clear about where the process is. What could the commission add to this conversation?
Well, there has been a lot of discussion with the board, as I think you're all familiar with. I'm not sure, but we anticipate that there's going to be a lot of questions from the Board of Supervisors at this hearing about certain properties, certain policies, certain elements of the plan. So, you know, it could be that something
and
relevant to
this is
to
based on our final recommendations of April 16th of 2010.
Correct.
Well, we made final recommendations then. Now they're looking at it and they're going to speak to that.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have a Commissioner Woods and as a possible
backup.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
One other thing, we will be canceling your March 11th meeting, so our next meeting will be March 25th. And then lastly, I would just like to
say that again?
We will be canceling your March 11th.
So our next meeting will be a month from now?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
And lastly, I would just say we made a recent process in our enhancement that I'd like your commission to be aware of. We now are taking the tapes of all of your meetings, and they are available on our website. So I did want to make you aware that we are now offering that service, much like the board does with the videos.
Accretive is not on part of this tape, are they?
I think Accretive predates the time we started that process.
Are you going to keep track of the hits? Anybody who actually...
Yes, we can keep track of the hits.
Well, that'd be interesting.
This is the Charlene Ayers Efficiency Act.
Is the tape off, madam?
It does add efficiency to for a number of things. One is we do get a lot of inquiries of Cheryl to get the tapes, and hopefully this will free up a little bit of Cheryl's time and so on. So, with that, I really have nothing else. So,
I'd move adjournment at this point in time.
It's been moved and second. This hearing is adjourned.
Thank you.